Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to Pop Off, the show where we take your favorite movies, music, and TV, and we rank them. I'm your host, Ethan Kaufman. Thanks for tuning in. Check out more Ithacan podcasts wherever you're listening to this, or go to theithacan.org. Dear listeners, we've talked about some strange things on here, but we've never talked stranger things. Now's the moment. Tis the day. Today I'll be giving you my top five characters from the hit Netflix series, but it's not just my list. We've got today's guest, Hannah Greaves. Hannah, welcome.
Hello.
When did you first get into Stranger Things?
I got into it around like 2017. I remember my mom was watching it with my dad. I'm like, I'm too cool for this. I don't need it. This is like, if it's too mainstream for me, I don't need it. I was too edgy.
But then
I started watching it and I'm like, oh my God, this is good.
Yes.
This is really good.
It is.
And then, like, you know, you rewatch a lot during quarantine, and then the show kind of went downhill because the seasons were getting, like, really spread apart. It's like, we're going to release this here. Just kidding. We're going to wait another year and a half to release it.
Right.
So now at this point of the show, I'm very fed up with it. I'm kind of ready for it to be over, but I had a good run with it.
You had a good run?
I did.
It's over?
Not completely. I still have some hope that the season's going to be good. It's going to end on a good note, even though they're all like 27 now,
yeah.
And they're not like 5.
Weren't they supposed to be like 14 in season 4 or something?
I thought it was supposed to be 17.
Or like 14 or 15. They're supposed to be way younger than they
are. Costumes did not do a good job.
No. I got into the show somewhere between seasons 1 and 2. I watched it. I like walked in on my dad watching the first season when it was coming out, and like specifically the scene when Eleven breaks the kid's arm and Dustin's like, she's our friend and she's crazy.
That's a bizarre part to walk in on.
Yeah, I was like, huh, what is this? And then like a couple months later I watched it, and then I watched season 2 with my family, and I've been a fan ever since. I'm wearing the Hellfire Club shirt. We're all decked out.
I totally forgot this, but fun fact.
Uh-oh.
For my high school, and every Halloween we did like a little parade, little skit thing on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I was Eddie Munson. He's not on my list. I can't stand the guy.
Okay.
I did it to purposely just try to get on some friends' nerves who was like absolutely obsessed with him.
The TikTok girlies.
Yeah, the TikTok girlies. So I was Eddie Munson, and I had to air shred a guitar on stage.
Nice.
And there's videos of that on the internet now.
And I have seen these videos.
I'm like a proud parent of my own videos. I'm like, yeah. Look at me go. Look at me do this.
All right. And this is the first TV episode that I've done where it's not top episodes, it's top characters, which I think is good because, like, this is a show that really, like, it's built on its characters.
Yeah.
And the Duffer Brothers have talked about, like, how each season is just kind of one big movie, so I don't know if doing specific episodes would have been as good as, say, other shows.
So much goes on in the episodes.
Right.
It's kind of like, you kind of have to split them half and half sometimes.
Yeah. All right. I'll get started. I have one honorable mention, and you don't have any. Would you like to explain why you don't have any?
As I was walking down, I'm like conjuring up who my favorite characters are. I realize all these characters are actually not the greatest people. Like, obviously, there's like some, like, you know, Dustin, Lucas, they're pretty good people. But like, I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, wait a minute. A lot of these characters, they're not as good as they used to be.
Uh-uh.
They're kind of jerks.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I'll get into my honorable mention. I have Nancy Wheeler. Sly Nancy.
She had a big turnaround.
She did. Although I do like her a lot in season 1, because like the whole subplot of her with Jonathan and then eventually Steve like trying to find and kill the Demogorgon, I think is so much fun.
It is.
Like they're almost hunting it.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's really resourceful in a way that a lot of other characters aren't, specifically earlier on. And also, she's just a badass.
Oh my gosh, totally.
With like a gun, like the shotgun.
The bear traps.
Oh my gosh, yeah. She's so much fun to watch in action. And then also, specifically in season 3, like when her and Jonathan are kind of at odds with each other, because
mm-hmm.
like she wants to pursue the story, Jonathan doesn't because he needs to keep the job. That fight that they have in the car is like one of my favorite scenes of the whole season. And then her talk with her mom later on, I just think is like very emotionally resonant for me.
All right.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that happened.
Yeah. She's not on your list?
She is not.
Ooh.
Because I think I was thinking more towards the other characters who I kind of hate now, I realize.
Okay.
All right.
What's your number 5?
Mike, in the first 3 seasons, more like the first 2.5, he was pretty good. But I think around, like, that third season, midway through, he kind of had a change of, like, where he kind of just became a jerk.
Yeah.
Where he's, like, literally only obsessed with Eleven, which is just... Ignoring the creepy factor there a little bit, like, it's... I get they're in middle school, they're... Like, we talked about, they're supposedly 14, which
supposedly.
I really still don't believe.
Yeah.
I feel like if he was so empathetic in the beginning, you feel like that would have carried a little bit longer to now where he's this soulless character who's just not even that really important in the story when the story initially revolved around him a little bit in his life finding Elle, if we think about it like that.
Right.
So he's definitely my fifth if I think about him in the first seasons.
Yeah.
And not the last two.
I really like him earlier on because he's like, he is sort of the main character in a way of season one. But he just kind of stops being important to the story and becomes just like a teenager, like a teenage boy.
But then like a little too much, not even like angsty, but like too cool, too good for everybody. Can we get a little more, please?
I think because he's like, he overacts a little. Fenwolfhard, I think, in some points.
Yeah.
Like, in response to Elle breaking up with him.
Totally. And then, like, I feel like he also kind of has that dry wall paint stare, like the thousand-mile stare in the fourth season. Like, he'll just stand in the background, just kind of voidless. And I'm like, dude, are you okay? Where's the acting gone to?
I miss the old days of Mike. He was so cute in season one.
He was.
Like, almost trying to bring Elle, like, into the world.
That was adorable.
Yeah.
And now he's just a jerk.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to get into my number five, which might be a bit of a hot take that they aren't higher. I have 11 at number five.
Okay, do tell.
Is she on your list at all?
She's on my list.
Where is she?
She's four.
All right. So the reason that I have Elle in my top five, I think one, just the iconography of her as a character. Like the jean jacket and Nancy's dress with the blonde wig was like the Halloween costume of that year.
That was the best thing ever.
I think just for what the show has going on, she's the perfect mix of all this crazy supernatural, like sci-fi horror type stuff. And then the fun 80s teen drama.
Yeah.
And so just like as a character to represent the show, I think she might be the best. Millie Bobby Brown's performance is really good across the show because, like, she's barely talking in season one, and it's a really good performance. Really, her face and what she does with her eyes is awesome. And then as she spends more time outside the lab with Hopper in season two, in season three being friends with Max, she gets more of a taste for, like, the human life and then becomes just, like, a full-fledged teenage girl. I do like her relationship with Mike on her side.
Oh, totally.
I think, like, on Mike's side, it's a little maybe obsessive.
A little bit.
But for her, I think there's a lot of conflict of, like, she's the one with this responsibility to, like, use her powers, take down the Mind Flayer, Demogorgons, all of that. Mm-hmm. The scene she has with Hopper in the season three finale after she's lost her powers and, like, doesn't really know what to do because she feels that she's supposed to defend her friends and can't, I think is really nice.
That is so poetic when that happened.
Yeah. She's just a really great character and is fully... She's, like, the center of the show.
Oh, totally.
Like, a lot of season four is just about unlocking her memories and her past in the lab.
Well, as I said...
You talk about her a little
she's
bit.
She's my number four, more or less for the same reasons. I do like the transition from not knowing what's going on to her, like, being, like, quote-unquote normal, even though I hate to still say it like that, though, because she's, like, still not.
Right.
In a good way, obviously. I'm digging myself a grave here. I just think her, like, the way she's written is really good and just... Although my only complaint is that, like, I feel like at one point she becomes too much like a teenager. Like, we have to remember this she only kind of became, like, a real person over the course of a few years, where I think that's supposed to take a little bit longer. Like, I feel like there should still be some parts of her that are still, like, a little exploratory, still kind of like, oh, what's this a little bit? What's this a little bit? You know? She kind of switches. In season three, I feel like she switches a little too hard into the whole normal teenager thing. We also have to keep in mind that Hopper's homeschooling her. So despite her hanging out with, like, her friend group of, like, you know, Max and Lucas, everybody else.
The gang.
But still not enough interaction for one person to fully learn. So I feel like they should slow her down just a teensy bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel awful for her because she's responsible for, like, way too much in the show.
Like, in terms of destruction?
No, because, like, everyone gets caught in these stupid things, and they're like, obviously it's not their fault. This also kind of boils down to Will a little bit, too. But they're like, oh, no, we kind of need help. 11, do something. So, like, I feel like she's responsible for a little too much, where the other character should maybe take on a little more responsibility in helping her a little bit. I feel like they don't. Like, they do, but if we always think about every, like, last episode when she is the one to always resolve everything,
yeah,
they kind of all just kind of back down immediately.
Right.
Like,
I will say, I feel like it's hard to do if you don't have telekinetic powers.
True.
But
every last episode is like, listen, we got this. The power of friendship, some My Little Pony thing going on. Okay, goodbye. Have fun. We're just going to all stand 20 feet away.
It's like everyone else every time is like, we have to stall so she can fix it.
Bingo. Yeah. Bingo. And stalling sometimes not enough.
But she's also a badass. She gets the job done. Oh, totally. In season two, when she's like levitating and she's like got the emo look.
Yeah. Like I said, all the season three fits hit really hard.
The season 3-11 fits are, like, probably my favorite costuming in the whole show.
I agree. I feel like that's the most 80s because, like, we watched the show evolve over time, like, the beginning of the 80s a little bit into the late 70s. And, like, we could definitely tell late 70s, a bit more muted colors, everything's a little more basic. But then once they hit season three, I feel like that's, if I can remember correctly, that's, like, 85. It's like,
yeah.
That's, like, the prime 85, 86.
It's, like, when the mall shows up.
It's summer. It's during Live Aid. So there's a lot of, like, stuff going on politically, I feel like, too, which I don't know why I'm roping this into this now.
No, but do it.
There's just a lot of colors going on. Like, you can really see how the fashion influences at the time. And I really like that. And also, I like to see an actual live working mall, because if you are familiar to the Ithaca area, our mall has, like, three stores, which include a Bath and Body Works. A sometimes open t-shirt shop, and a sometimes open Cinnabon.
Yeah.
To see an actually functioning mall is, like, really heartwarming to me. Like, oh, they can actually go hang out somewhere.
I know, and it's back in the times when people got, like, excited about malls.
Yeah.
There's the whole scene of them, like, just exploring and going shopping. It's like Material Girl. It's such a fun montage.
I love montages of shopping. Yeah. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
But what's your four?
All right. My number four, I have Max.
Okay.
Is Max on your list?
Shocker, no.
Wow. All right. I wouldn't have put her here, but she carried season four so hard.
She did.
I think it took the writers a little bit of time to figure her out, because when she comes in at the beginning of season two, she's very, like,
angsty.
Yeah, very angsty, very, like, just, I feel like emotionally disconnected from the main group, which I know is the intention, mm-hmm. but she just kind of feels way more hardened. But I think in peeling back the layers of, like, her relationship with Billy and her parents, you start to see why that is more and more. Like, her and the sort of love triangle with Lucas and Dustin in season two is awesome. Like, the scene of, like, I think it's her and Lucas talking on top of the bus,
yeah,
before the Demodogs come in and Steve does his thing. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite scenes of the season. I like her sort of being this away inside, like, just the general teenage girl way of living for Eleven in season three.
Yeah.
Because, like, Eleven's sort of had all this drama with Mike, and then Max comes along and is like, hey, let's be BFFs.
Yeah.
Which is so nice, because I thought they, like, in season two, there's the scene where Eleven sees Mike and Max in the gym. And Eleven, like, hates her because she's jealous. And so I'm so happy they got to be friends.
Same, yeah.
And then in season four, after, spoiler alert, after Billy dies, she's so conflicted about it.
Yeah.
Because he was so abusive and, like, violent. But at the end of the day, they were still, really, siblings.
Yeah.
And so that dilemma that she has. And she, like, she goes back to being angsty, but it's more of, like, a depression angsty. Like, Dear Billy is, like, one of the standout episodes of that season when she, like, reads the letter at Billy's grave thinking that she's going to die. We got the Kate Bush scene.
That was incredible.
Yeah, I think Sadie Sink is easily up there as, like, one of the most talented people on the entire show.
Oh, totally.
Like, forget about just the kids, out of everyone. And her performance in season four was, like, one of my favorites across the entire series. So that's why she's at four.
I will, like I said, she's not on my list, but what I will say is that, like, I feel like she's the most normal teenager out of all of them, stereotypically speaking. Like, she's still very empathetic. She still holds a lot of her character true to herself, but she also still has her own moments of angsty where it doesn't, like, overpower her whole entire personality. For example, like, earlier, I feel like that kind of overpowers Mike a little bit. At some points, it overpowers Elle a little bit, the whole just teenage stereotype. Mm-hmm. But she, like, goes back and forth so much, it's into, like, a nice, clean balance. Where,
like, she feels more grounded?
Yeah, she's, like, relatable.
Yeah.
Almost. Not completely.
Of course she's relatable. She's depressed and listens to art pop. She's so me.
Okay, now you put it like that. I'm like, all right, all right.
Yeah.
All right, number three.
What's your number three?
Joyce.
Joyce Byers.
Now, Winona Ryder, the actress, I feel like, let alone, she's one of my favorite. I don't really know her from too much other than Beetlejuice and this. But just, like, the controversy behind her, like, I remember my mom told me, she's like, oh, yeah, one time she shoplifted and got arrested for it. And I don't know why that just popped out to me. It's like, it's obvious, stealing's not cool, kids. But at the same time, just the fact that she just did that when she has the money to buy something, I'm like, that is the most pick-me, look-at-me attitude ever, and I love it.
We love you, Winona. So, if you're listening to this, hi.
Winona, I love you.
Icon.
That sounds so creepy the way I said it, but I feel like also Joyce is a character that stands out. She's, like, written very well as, like, a mother figure, like, just like her whole thing of just wanting to protect her sons, but then also not needing to keep, like, her life afloat just because she's a single mother, working class, struggling to, like, make paycheck to paycheck a little bit.
Yeah.
The relationship with Hopper, like, it does a really good job at, like, showing relationships. Like, falling in love doesn't change a lot when you get older because you will continue to, like, have, like, I don't really know many people that are divorced, but, like, you know, it's there's a lot of stuff going on for the teenage aspect. It's like when you fall in love, it's, you know, you, like, have very little focuses in your life. You have school, you have, like, future job, but then you have, like, this.
Yeah.
But when you get older, you, like, have, like, so many other main focuses going on. It's like, where does the whole love aspect fall into one's life a little bit? Especially for a single mom, so that's very entertaining to see how she's juggling all of that. And also, I just, the acting in season one with the lights going, Will! Will!
Just getting so emotional. He's in the walls!
Also, why I love her.
Yeah.
Just her acting's phenomenal. The character's written so well. She juggles everything so well. She's the definition of 9 to 5 for me.
Yeah.
9 to 5 would be
her
song.
She puts the work in. She's grinding, you know?
She's literally on that grind. Yeah. Like, no one could ever top that.
Of course. I love Joyce. She's not on my list, but she's great. The whole subplot of her, like, trying to leave Hawkins because she knows it's not really safe and she just wants what's best for, like, her, Will, and Jonathan.
Yeah.
I think is so compelling. And her relationship with Bob in season two.
That was
is so tragic.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah. And I think because he, that scene in the hospital when she's talking with Bob and they're talking about, like, moving out of Hawkins, and she kind of feels like she can't.
Yeah.
Because Hawkins is her home. And then Bob dies. And it's like she talks with Hopper about it a lot in the next season. And then finally does it and moves to California in season four. And I just, it's a really fascinating conflict for her as a parent and for me to watch.
Because
it's just, it's something that I've never really had a view into. And I love how it's written. Obviously, like in season one, all of that with like, my boy is missing. And she's like the fight in like in the middle of town between her and Jonathan where they're yelling at each other and he's trying to tell her that like it's over, he's dead. And she's like, no, he's in the lights.
That's
I just
amazing.
Find so much fun. Obviously her relationship with Hopper. And then the reason she's not on my list, I think, is because there's so much of just on like online. So much of, like, Joyce Byers is just the mom who's yelling about where her son is. And it's, like, it's true. She's really good at it.
She's amazing at it.
Yeah. There's the scene, though, in season two with all the scientists around the table where she's, like, I want my boy! And, like, slams down on the table. Yeah. A lot of her character, I do think, is just different renditions of that one character trait, but Winona Ryder is so good at it.
Yeah.
And it always, like, with each season, there's always something new. Like, because season one, Will's gone. Season two, he's there, but he's not himself.
Phenomenal. Like I said, Winona Ryder, if you're out there, you know where to
slay,
find me.
Slay, me icon, up. Loved you in Heathers.
She's in Heathers.
She's the main girl in Heathers.
She's everywhere.
She's everywhere. I'm going to get into my number three.
All right.
Dustin Henderson.
Oh, okay.
Where is he for you if he's...
I didn't put him on my list, ooh, but I really should have because he's, like, one of the only, like, morally consistently good characters out there.
Right.
He doesn't have a change of heart. He keeps staying Dustin.
Yeah. Which sometimes comes back to light everyone in the butt because, like, in season two with Dart, when he, like, takes him under his care because he doesn't want him to get hurt, and it's like, that's a creature from the Upside Down that you're saving.
And you also kind of witnessed how the first one kind of went, so you think he'd have a little more knowledge.
Right.
But also, he's like 13 at that time, so we do have to remember that.
It takes Dart eating his cat before he's like, oh, wait, I shouldn't have done that. Crap, I'll help you guys.
I feel like even after Dart ate the cat, he was still pretty attached to Dart.
A little bit, yeah.
So he didn't really get he really only lost attachment to Dart after Dart died.
But then he has that great moment when they're in the tunnels and Dart comes up and he like calms him down and gives him the Three Musketeers.
That was so cute.
Yeah, Dustin is like the comedic relief really of the show. But he's also just such a great character. His relationship with the rest of the group, I think, more than anyone else, he's trying to keep everyone together.
Yeah.
Because Lucas in season one is very, like, anti-Eleven, like, ends up going off on his own. And he still wants everyone to be, like, a unit, but in much more of a, here's what I think is best for us, here's what I think we need to do. Dustin, I don't think, voices his own opinions as much. He's just kind of the mediator. His relationship with Steve obviously is like the best relationship in the entire show. It's just so much fun.
It is.
At the end of season two at the snowball, when like no one wants to dance with him.
And how Nancy was just.
And then Nancy shows. I felt there's the shot of him like sitting on the bleachers alone watching everyone. And it guts me.
I know.
I feel so bad for him.
And then, like I said, not on my list, but I remember, like, for an only child, watching him, like, have this relationship with Steve was really nice for me. Because, like, I've always wanted to have, like, a relationship of, you know, an older sibling figure who's always kind of, like, there for you, but also kind of, like, bullies you a lot. Like, no, idiot, don't do that. But, like, also still is, like, here for you and does, like, helps you out.
Yeah.
That's, like, so sweet. I just think really, like, helps build the plot line with Steve a little bit and kind of makes him a more real character and not... Because, like, season one, he was awful, we gotta admit.
Yeah.
I think having that relationship with Dustin really helped him turn a new leaf.
Yeah, and I think... I always forget that, like, Dustin really is one of the only, like, main kids that doesn't have a sibling because, like, Mike and Nancy, Lucas and Erica, you have Will and Jonathan, Max and Billy, and then he's just kind of there on his own.
Yeah.
And then goes literally to recruit Steve and is like, you still got the bat? It's like, yeah, what are we doing? And then they just go off and they have
literally
fun babysitting adventures.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love Dustin.
I do too.
Yeah. All right. Who's your number two?
Steve.
Steve.
Now, I was a hardcore Steve fan season three and season four. Am I a little ashamed of myself? I can't really say I am because I never post. I wasn't like on Tumblr being like, he's so hot and he's so good looking. He's a great dad. I wasn't like that. So I can't really say I'm too ashamed of myself. But at the same time, we're all human. We all have our faults. We all have our moments.
Yeah.
I just feel like the character growth from him of season one to like season two is incredible because like we were talking about, Dustin kind of recruiting him as older brother is like, that's incredible. I hate to bring up Eddie Munson, but the relationship those two had where they were, like, both parents almost a little bit because then Dustin started to diverge a little bit to the D&D club, and we could see sometimes, like, Steve getting a little overprotective of, like, okay, we're not going to do that, and they, like, hijack the camper van.
Yeah.
And it's like watching two parents argue a little bit. So it's like, ah, father and father are at it. So I just think his character growth is really good. His acting's really good. The actor Joe Keery, phenomenal actor. Phenomenal singer, by the
way.
That,
too.
I
didn't know that was him until recently.
I knew he was part of the band. I don't even know how to pronounce it. I just know it's DJO.
I think it's just Joe, for like Joe Carey.
I thought it was DJO.
DJO.
Because I listened to his music a lot, like summer 2020, and I didn't quite know who it was, but I made the connection like a year or two ago. I'm like, oh, okay, that's nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
Great band, but I think the character writing for Steve is just really incredible and also really important to the story.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, that turnaround was a lot.
Yeah. Steve, the hair. Harrington.
I'm jealous of that hair.
King Steve.
I want his hair.
Me too.
So badly.
I need it. I need it on my head.
I already have thick enough hair, but like I want to know what he does to like get it to work with
him. If you had that hair, you'd never wear the bandana again.
I would not.
Steve is also my number two.
All right.
He was my number one, and then 10 minutes ago, I switched my one and two. Very last minute.
Felt.
So he's my number two now. He is amazing. Joe Keery is so entertaining as this character. And really, like you said, it's the growth, mainly from season one to two, but really, there's always something. Because in season one, I don't even think he's the worst person ever. He's that kind of douchey popular guy.
Yeah, totally.
And his friends, Carol and Tommy H., right?
I think so.
I feel like they're the ones that are very anti-Jonathan. Like, there's the scene of him giving back the camera and just kind of destroying it. And, like, that's really the moment that's like, you didn't have to do that. But I think he, there's also this, there's the scene like outside, I think it's a, like a department store or something, or a convenience store, where it's him talking with his friends, and his friends are very down on Nancy, and he kind of sticks up for her, leaves them, and then ultimately winds up going to the buyer's house and playing into that whole sequence with the Demogorgon, where he steps up. And from that point on, really, I do think he is much more of like a good-hearted person, but then it's really Dustin pulling him into the fold in season two that gets him going. Mm-hmm. And he takes on that role of babysitter so happily, and he like accepts it. The scene when Billy comes to the house looking for Max, mm-hmm. and he just full-on fights him and gets destroyed. And I love the trend of like the first three seasons. Steve physically gets wrecked every season.
He does.
I feel so bad for when he wakes up in the car and Max is driving. And he's like, you're a kid. What the hell?
I will say one thing about the camera scene. I remember watching an interview, and that's like, I think that was one of like the many audition scenes or just like run throughs to see, okay, is this character the fit? This is very hard to do because this is a podcast. But when he holds the camera, he holds it face up with his hand facing up. But when he drops it, he holds it face down.
Yeah.
But there's no action of him turning the wrist. He just forgot to make, like, he forgot the consistency of, I gotta hold it up and drop it.
Yeah.
I can't just flip my wrist.
Yeah.
So I...
He just kind of lets it go.
Yeah, but there's, like, it's, like, one of those little inconsistency moments, but I love that for some reason. It's so little and unimportant. I just find it interesting that he admitted that, because most people will be like, no, I didn't make any mistakes.
No, yeah. Good for him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, his relationship with Robin is also a standout, because he is the character that peaked in high school and doesn't want to accept that. And so at the beginning of season three, he's, like, hitting on girls at Scoops Ahoy as he's working there. And Robin has, like, the little board of how many rejections he's gotten. And he totally doesn't realize that, like, he's now in the real world. That's not how you score a date with someone. And through working with Robin on, like, infiltrating the Russian base, which, side note, hilarious that that is a subplot in a show this popular, is evil Russians.
And also the fact that a 10-year-old was the only one to really figure it out, like, how to get out. Like,
you can't spell America without Erica. I'm just saying. No, but it's him working with Robin. He ultimately winds up, like, forming pretty strong feelings for her. And I think, like, season one Steve never would have done that. He would have looked at her and been like, that's someone who's below me.
Yeah.
But he winds up getting those feelings and then doesn't really know what to do when Robin comes out to him in the bathroom, because he's like, oh, crap, this has never happened to me before. What?
Accepting King.
Yes. And then they just go on as best friends, and it's amazing.
I absolutely love that type of relationship. Wholesome.
And then he kind of like hands the duties of babysitter over to Eddie Munson a little bit. I was so convinced he was gonna die season four.
Steve
in season four.
I was not. I think at that point I was watching it with a friend, and we were so mindlessly just like, oh my god, please. Please. Because, like, the show's great, but with their stretching it a little bit, I feel like.
Yeah.
So I don't know what season five's going to behold.
Like, just in terms of character deaths or just the plot overall?
The plot overall.
Yeah.
And because we all know it's going to be another monster.
Right.
But we don't know what.
Is there going to be a dragon? People seem to think there's going to be, like an upside-down dragon.
I would prefer if they don't do dragons, because I feel like that's dabbling too much into the fantasy world of wizardry. Yeah. Like, that's, like, the Demogorgon, everything, like, those make sense, because those are, like, I mean, I haven't played D&D, and I know a dragon is a D&D thing.
Yeah, as in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, as in Dungeons and
Dragons. It's one of the D's dragons. In D&D.
But I feel like the dragon's just too heavily into the fantasy side, where you gotta lean still, like, into that psychotic mind a little bit, because remember, these are all coming from Will's head.
Yeah.
So I feel like it should be, like, a little, if it is a dragon, it has to be, like, really warped looking, and it just can't be, like, big green, scaly thing.
Like, it's something that I guess could resemble a dragon, and so they just call it, like, the Demo Dragon.
they're gonna call it.
Awful. Don't do that.
Stop putting Demo in front of everything. Demo Dragon, Demogorgon, Demolition.
Duffer Brothers, if you are currently in the midst of working on season five and you are going to call your big bad the Demo Dragon and you're listening to this, change it. All right, we're both down to our number one. Do we have the same one?
I really pulled a weird stop on number one.
I'll let you go first, then.
Barb.
Barb! Hey!
I am a Barb. I'm mad about what happened to Barb. She was like the only, if we think about it, now she only had two episodes, barely even two.
Yeah.
Like one and a half. She was the only morally conscious and good character for the whole show.
She was.
Which, like I said, it's not saying a lot because she really only had like one and a half episodes. And yes, I get that she was written with not a lot of depth because she was on the chopping block very early.
Right.
But like, as someone who's just not into partying, like Nancy, Steve in season one, like a lot of people like in college are very like into that stuff. As someone who's just not into it, Barb's like my icon. I'm like, it's okay to not be a party animal.
Yeah.
Because Barb is not. Just because it's the 80s doesn't mean everyone's like partying every single night. You could be like Barb and sit by the edge of a pool and prick your finger on a soda can, on a beer can, because your friend tries to get you to chug it, and then you get taken in the water and never return. I miss Barb.
I miss Barb. I feel so bad for Barb's parents.
They did not care. I'm sorry.
No, they care.
No, I remember it was like the whole like Steve and Nancy were visiting Barb's parents.
Yeah.
And they were just sitting there like a little too happy for my taste. They're like, I mean, they had pictures of her around and whatnot, and they're like normal grieving parents. But they just felt a little too happy for me to be like...
Well, it's because they finally... It's like they got... It's Murray, right? That, like, they hire as their private investigator. And
oh,
the mom is like,
yeah,
we've got this man. He's really going to solve the case. We're finally going to get justice for our daughter. And then Nancy's sitting there like, hey. And then, like, goes to the bathroom and cries.
It's like, I kind of saw your daughter in the other upside down world.
Yeah.
Sorry. Justice for Barb. Please bring Barb. Can Barb be the next... Demo thing? Demo Barb?
The Demo Barb?
That'd be awesome.
Can we get like a three-headed Barb?
Maybe not,
yeah.
But.
You told me yesterday you were going to come up with some hot takes, and I'm like, Barb at number one is something.
Because she's very unimportant now we think about it compared to everything else that happened in the four seasons.
Yeah. You know what? Not a lot of people have her this high, so good for you.
Thank you.
Justice for Barb.
Thank you.
Yeah. My number one is Hopper.
Okay.
My now number one was number two.
Okay, I'm interesting to hear because I do have some opinions on Hopper, so go ahead.
I think consistently from the beginning of the show to the end, or I guess like where we are now, I think David Harbour gives the strongest performance of the entire series. I said that Eleven was like really the trademark character of the show just because of the iconography. But almost as a mission statement, what Hopper is to the show really in season one, because you see him for the first time in that first episode and he's just this stereotypical police chief. He's kind of like not even really caring about what's happening with Will going missing and is just trying to move it along, but he investigates the mystery, and at the end of episode four he's like in the lab with the dummy Will, which, behind the scenes fun fact I love, is like an actual real dummy that they have of Noah Schnapp that they would like beat up on set. Like they punched him in the face.
That was the dummy. That was awful for Noah to watch the corner.
Yeah, I think he did it though a couple times. Like
okay.
He beat up the dummy of himself.
Okay, that's like fine if it's him, but like if it's other people, that'd be like a little unsettled. I'd be like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. It's like, okay.
Yeah. No, but Hopper like finds out that this isn't actually Will, goes to Joyce. And it's a complete 180 from, because all these 80s movies, the police don't do anything.
They don't.
Law enforcement is not helpful at all. It's always the kids that are trying to figure it out that do. And if anything, law enforcement is a hindrance to them. I love how he is totally not that. And he is pushing ahead, trying to get to the bottom of this, goes into the Upside Down with Joyce to revive Will in the Upside Down. And the backstory with him and his daughter
is
so, like, emotionally resonant.
It's heartbreaking.
And the way that he almost sees trying to find and save Will as, like, a stand-in for his daughter and his failure to save her. And then when he takes Eleven in as, like, his adoptive daughter, that relationship that they have in season two is incredible. Just all, like, the Hopper as a father stuff.
It is.
It's so hard for me. And then, like, in season three, now that Eleven is out there in the world, is, like, dating Mike, and he's like, hey, keep the door open! And he's, like, just this fun, stereotypical dad kind of guy.
Yeah.
And he even has the dad bod a little bit.
He does.
He's, like, all sweaty and stuff.
Apparently, he had to, like, keep the weight on, like, because most producer, most, like, actor, like, produce people like, okay, you got to lose a little bit. You got to, come on. We got to get you to, like, this look. But no, they had it because apparently he started losing weight at a point, and they're like, no. You got to keep it.
You got to keep the dad bod.
You got to keep it on. And, like, and he's like, okay, Jesus.
Right. And then his relationship with Joyce is really interesting because it's there from the start, but especially with Bob in season two, it doesn't really come into focus until season three. And then he dies, doesn't die, but, like, she thinks he dies. And so it's not until season four that they really confess their feelings for each other.
Yeah.
Which is one of the most satisfying moments of the whole show.
It is. It's so satisfying.
And I love him in season four because I'm very much of the mindset that he should have died in season three, like, when they pretend to kill him off.
Yeah.
Like, his letter at the end to Eleven, right at the end of the episode, is so powerful and I think would have been such a great way to leave him. But even though he's back in season four, I love what they do with him because he's almost living on borrowed time where he's, like, just this prisoner in, like, Russia.
Yeah.
Trying to scrap by. I forget what the guy's name is. I haven't rewatched season four. I need to rewatch season four.
I do, too, especially because I think season five is coming out this summer, I want to say.
Not this soon. I think next year.
I thought it said 2024.
I think they moved it because of, like, delays and whatnot. I'm sorry.
I have the face of defeat on right now, and I'm a little mad about it because...
You do. I don't know if I can accurately describe the face other than just sadness.
Anyway, let's ignore that part and pretend it's on this summer because that's the only thing keeping me afloat right now.
No, I love Hopper so much. With the sword? Is it a sword?
It's a sword.
When he fights the Demogorgon? Just like the... Because he knows what's going on at the prison. None of the others do. They're just like, oh, they have this thing. And he's like, yeah, I've...
This is not my first rodeo.
Yeah. He's so cool. I love David Harbour so much.
I know.
The buzz cut suits him so well.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Well, Hopper isn't my top. He's not my list at all. Because, like, my opinion's on, like, well, great dad, great figure, great actor. And I know it is the 80s a little bit, so, like, everyone was like,
It's the 80s.
It's okay to be under the influence a little bit, like, every day, daily.
Yeah.
So he still has a little bit of, like, the alcoholic, like, tendencies to, like, get a little too angry. And, like, I know it's just the time period and whatnot, but at the same time, it's a little, like, off-putting.
Yeah. His fight with Eleven
was, like, a little much.
It's a lot.
I mean, I think it's important to the story, for sure, but I feel like it's a little much just to watch because it's, like... There's, like, normal dad and daughter fighting, but then this was, like... And I know this was taken up a few extra notches because he was probably under the influence, and she also has, like, telekinetic powers.
Yeah.
So it's a lot to keep in mind there, too, but I just feel like a few of those scenes where the two are yelling at each other was, like, a little much and just kind of puts me off a little bit.
There's a line where he's like, you want to go back to the lab? One phone call, I can make that happen. Like, that...
That's a...
You know what happened to her there. Don't even make that as a threat.
Yeah, this is the essential equivalent of, like, having a foster kid in your home. So this is the equivalent of someone saying, do you want me to take you back to, like, you know, your old family?
Yeah.
That's a little step.
Except it's the old family that, like, ran tests on her for her entire life.
Yeah.
And, like, didn't let her leave.
Exactly.
Made her work as a lab rat.
So I know for a fact back at home, me and my mom, this is what we do. We watch Stranger Things. She loves Hopper, and we have a Hopper Christmas ornament. I don't know why. It's not important.
What does it look like? Is it just like his head?
Nah, it's just him with a coffee cup looking kind of angry.
Okay.
That's really all I could say. But for a while, like, I didn't want to put it in storage because I'm like, okay, this is, like, too good to put in storage. So I just had it hanging, like, where a picture was my wall. I just took the picture off, and I hung it on the hook, so there's just a huge empty space on my wall where the Hopper used to hang.
And it's just him with a coffee cup?
It is.
Coffee and contemplation.
Yes, this is coffee and contemplation.
Yeah. Yay, Stranger Things. That is our Stranger Things character list. Thank you all for listening. Hannah, thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. We should do this again sometime with some other thing.
Yeah. I have a...
You say that like you hated this and want to leave.
Yes, goodbye. No. I just keep... All I can think about right now is Beetlejuice.
Oh, my God.
So I think if you get me after the second movie comes out, yes. I will have a lot to say.
Okay. This has been Pop Off, and we will see you all next time. Hannah, we won't see you. You won't be here, but it was great having you. Bye-bye. Say bye to the fans.
No.
No?
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you later, sweetheart.
See you.